Good old America. Hi, this is DJ Bennett for the Kill Radio News Team, and I'm looking at a report here about the Iraq we left behind. Yes, Iraq. This country that never attacked us, but got an invasion from the United States. This country that used to actually be somewhat, to some degree, a little bastion of freedom and secular thought in the middle of a deeply Islamic Middle East. Well, when the United States invaded Iraq, what that did was make it the hottest place on earth for Al-Qaeda to set up its reserves. Now that we've pulled out of Iraq, we've left our very own favorite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki there to harass and persecute anyone that he deems a threat to himself. And the freedom which we were supposed to be setting up there has now been dramatically reduced. The system that he has, al-Maliki, is rife with corruption and brutality, in which political leaders use security forces and militias to repress enemies and intimidate the general population. So what effing good did we do in Iraq? Hey, McCain, all you warmongering folk out there who thought it was the right thing to do? There were no weapons of mass destruction. There was no reason to invade that country. They had nothing to do with 9/11. Yet we spend billions, maybe $1 trillion for nothing. For nothing. Because all we did was leave behind the most beautifully made embassy in the history of the earth with the greatest security forces of all time, cost billions of dollars. We lost thousands of soldiers, and now the country is just as bad, if not worse, than it was before we invaded it. Hooray for the U.S. Hooray for the Republicans. Hooray for Dick Cheney and the other traitors who all should be hanged. Thanks a lot, you hypocritical, arrogant, I don't want to say the last word. And now here we are. It's the election is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And the latest news that I heard on media this morning is that the young voters are more conservative than ever. Now, I don't really believe that. I think there is a lot of indoctrination out there. But my friend Arthur Perley, thank you so much, Arthur, said when I raised the question of what do we do about economic inequalities that don't seem to ever change, Arthur wrote me that we must be not like a fist, like water, immutable and unstoppable, dissolving the hardest barriers and diluting all the evil humors that cause pain and suffering. Gandhi said it best. First, they ignore you. Then, they laugh at you. Then, they fight you. Then, you win. This is the Weekly News in Review. It was posted by Sarah Bressler on July 3rd, 2012. Happy birthday, America. You made it through another one, certainly not with the help of our politics, not with the help of the Republican traitors, not with the help of the Democratic wimps. What keeps us going are people like you and me. Yes, you, listener. You and me. Because we're the people who live here. And we're the ones that aren't giving up yet, are we? You're not giving up, are you? I won't let you. Now, this is the news of the preceding week. And some commentary. The United Nations hosted a summit in Geneva to broker a plan for peace and the establishment of a unified transitional government in Syria, where an uprising has killed more than 14,000 people in 16 months. The way things have been going thus far, we are not helping anyone, said UN and Arab League envoy Kofi Annan, who drafted the negotiating text. Let us break this trend and start being of some use. Russia rejected wording that expressly prohibited Syrian President Bashar al-Assad from retaining power. And the final accord allowed for Assad's regime to participate in the transitional government. The government has been destroyed, said Syrian opposition figure Hatayem Mange. And they want us then to sit with the killer? Meanwhile, in a 5-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, allowing that the controversial individual mandate clause, which penalizes any individual who does not carry health insurance, is legal under the federal government's taxing authority. The Supreme Court just saved Obama's ass, wrote law professor Adam Winkler, whoever the hell he is. This is the end of America as we know it. No exaggeration, tweeted Breitbart.com blogger Ben Shapiro. Yes, Sarah Palin said that if Obama is reelected and 30 million Americans who can't afford health insurance are now covered, you will simply not recognize this country. House Republicans vowed to repeal the law, even though the Democratic-controlled Senate will be able to uphold it. So the House Republicans are just acting like the bunch of sore losers that they are. They expected the law to go down with the Supreme Court because they expected the Supreme Court to be acting completely partisan. Now, in fact, the Supreme Court is totally partisan. It's totally right-wing. Even the most liberal members of the Supreme Court are right-wing. So I don't expect anything more from the Supreme Court. Evidently, Chief Justice Roberts is the one who decided that maybe the court had been a little too partisan. But in fact, this imbroglio that they're doing over taxes versus penalties is ridiculous. In Massachusetts, where they have the exact same law, Mitt Romney set it up. It's the only thing he did as governor. He certainly didn't get the state any jobs. There, only 1% of people received the penalty. Those people who would receive the tax or the penalty are the people who can afford to have insurance but don't have it. In Massachusetts, that amounted to about 1% of the population. Hardly anything to get so upset about. No, these sore losers just don't like anything that was created by our president. And they think it's the end of the world. They're sore losers. That's all they are. They would rather throw things out than compromise in any way. This is rigid non-thinking and shows why we have got to vote out every Republican. I'm not even a Democrat. I don't even like the Democrats. But they're so much better than these Republican pieces of smear. Because that's all they are. Polls found that 47% of Americans oppose the Affordable Health Care Act, 33% support it, and 65% believe Obama would handle an alien invasion better than Mitt Romney. Well, that's pretty good. But this idea that 47% of Americans oppose the act, that's nonsense too. All that means is that the indoctrination by the Republicans is getting through to people. If they would actually take the time to look into the act, that doesn't mean read all 900 pages of it. That means read a good summary of it. Reddit has a great one. You'll see it's not so damn terrifying. Another thing that the president wanted to do, which, by the way, Mitt Romney did in his state of Massachusetts when he was selling this idea, is we should have people going around explaining what the Affordable Health Care Act does and how good it is for people. But, of course, when money was attempted to be raised in a measure in order to go around and explain this act to the public, the Republicans voted against it because, of course, they don't want anybody to know how good the act is, what good things it does for the country. Of course they don't want that because they're wrong about everything. So a poll says that Americans oppose the act? Nonsense. If they knew what the act was, they would support it 100%. The National Geographic Channel announced plans to beam a crowdsourced message composed of tweets in the direction of the only significant radio signal ever received from space, though that won't mean anything. And hackers took over the Twitter account of Russian anti-corporation activist Alexei Navalny, then sent messages to his followers saying he would use their money to party in Mexico. "Life without Twitter is hell," Navalny tweeted after regaining control of his account. "You have to get your news from the internet." President Islam Karimov warned journalists on Mass Media Workers' Day in Uzbekistan not to get overexcited. Preliminary results in the Mexican presidential election indicated victory for Enrique Peña Nieto and the Institutional Revolutionary Party, PRI, which ruled virtually unchallenged for seven decades before being voted out in 2000. Mexicans believe the PRI can negotiate an end to the country's drug war, said one analyst, who must be smoking something because there's not going to be an end to the drug war there. "Because the party and the cartels have always been close." No, 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 no. The party and the cartels are the same thing. In Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood leader Mohamed Morsi was sworn in as president by the country's Supreme Constitutional Court, which dissolved parliament 2 weeks ago. Queen Elizabeth II and former Irish Republican Army leader Martin McGuinness shook hands at Belfast's Lyric Theatre, then conversed for 8 minutes. Other than moving into Buckingham Palace and curling up like an old queen corgi at the foot of the queen's bed, said Belfastian commentator Alex Kane, "I'm not sure how much more Sinn Féin could do to indicate that their war has been lost." The Queen approved an update to the order of precedence in the royal household, explaining that Duchess of Cambridge Kate Middleton, a commoner, need curtsy before the blood princesses Alexandra, Anne, Beatrice, and Eugenie only when unaccompanied by Prince William, but must curtsy before the common-blooded Duchess of Cornwall, Camilla Parker Bowles, at all time. The British House of Commons approved a plan to rename Big Ben the Elizabeth Tower. The world's largest McDonald's opened in London's Olympic Park. And researchers discovered that mice who like to eat more are less interested in cocaine. A man in Waco, Texas, ate his family's dog while on the synthetic cannabinoid K2. Two chimps at the Jane Goodall Institute chimpanzee Eden in South Africa attacked an American researcher, dragging him nearly half a mile and repeatedly biting him. "They were highly motivated," said managing director Eugene Cussons of Chimps Amadeus, who had formerly lived at the Johannesburg Zoo, and Nikki, whose parents were killed for their meat and whose former owners in Liberia dressed him in clothes, shaved his body, and taught him to eat at a table using cutlery. Biologists in Norway built a mini gym for rock ptarmigans, chicken-like Arctic birds who become fat for winter. "They're natural-born athletes," said the project's lead scientist. "As soon as you put them on the treadmill, they start to run." Particle physicists announced that the God particle had nearly been discovered and almost certainly exists. Nearly is not a discovery, and until it is, they can't say for sure that it certainly exists. Though, I'm utterly fascinated in that. A primary school teacher in China struck her husband's lover and the woman's 4-year-old daughter with her car, then stripped naked and blocked the ambulance from taking them to the hospital. A researcher at the Karolinska Institute near Stockholm cut off his wife's lip so she could never kiss another man, then ate it to ensure that it would not be surgically reattached. "I got the idea spontaneously," he told police. "I'm a man of science. I have a very high IQ. I have the ability to solve problems in a second." Oh, yes. That's the news. Thank you, Sarah Bressler. Thank you for listening to this melange of opinion and sad news. This has been the weekly news and review for killradio.org. This is DJ Bennett. I also do the Chill Room on Friday nights here on killradio.org. Please tune in for some collage and amazement. In the meantime, try to be healthy this week. Happy birthday, America, and thanks for listening.